Now, appreciate you being with us today. And for all of you here with us in person today, and we thank God. And we are praying and we're standing together as we, in this strange season in our national journey. There's a lot we could say, and I won't say today, but I'm going to preach the word this morning.
Amen.
But these are some perilous times. But you're right, Greg. We're going to get through this, and I'm optimistic that God is doing something in our land, in our nation. Amen. In the words of Brother Sam Cooke, a change is going to come.
Amen.
And I'm waiting for that change. Amen.
Amen.
The way home, finding your destination in Jesus. The text this morning was from the New Testament text read earlier by Kay Michelle, John chapter 14. I'm looking at verses 1 through 6 this morning. Chrissy, our hearts go out to you this morning, and we definitely stand with you. Anything we can do during this time, and your friends, we stand with her and her family and your whole circle. That's a horrible thing, but we know that God is faithful. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. But I want you to think about something this morning. I want you to think about the last time you were lost. Some of you may say it was on the way to church this morning. I'm not talking about just a little turned around. I'd like to just sometimes speak euphemistically and say I'm just slightly disoriented. But I'm talking about, I'm talking about lost. You know what I mean? Where that you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you are, you don't know how to get back lost. Real lost. Let me share with you a story that a young pastor relates, okay? I think it's kind of interesting, and it kind of speaks to what I'm talking about today. And he writes this. He says, I was in Delaware visiting family, and I wanted to find someplace interesting to go running. I found a state park 25 minutes away, so I borrowed a car from my sister-in-law and headed out. My phone died at the end of the run, and being a millennial, I'd realized that I had no idea how to get back without GPS. So I did something I hadn't done in years. I walked into a visitor center and picked up an actual paper map. Some of y'all remember those? He continues. He says, relieved, I traced a route on the map back to where I thought the house was, got in the car, and hoped for the best. The drive was going well until I got into a small Delaware town and knew I needed to take a left somewhere. I started to consult the paper map, but the sun was just above the horizon and was blinding me. So I find some sunglasses in the car and put them on while trying to catch the name of a cross street. But before I know it, I see lights flashing in the rearview mirror. As I pull over, I start to feel a bit sheepish when I remember that the license plate on my sister-in-law's car, her little black Kia, reads LUI space VTN, in other words, Louis Vuitton, the fashion designer. But what can you do? In the rearview mirror, I see an officer get out of her squad car. When she gets to my window, she asks me, do you know why I pulled you over? No, but I don't think I was speeding. She says, I pulled you over for reading that map. Are you serious, I thought? Isn't that what maps are for? It's not even the phone, it's a paper map. As if she could read my mind, she says, you should never read a paper map while driving. It's way more dangerous than looking at your phone. At this point, I can't think of anything helpful to say, but I'm just hoping she lets me off with a warning. She walks back to her car, does her thing, then walks back up to my window and says, I'm giving you a ticket for distracted driving. As the officer is walking back to her car, I glance in the rearview mirror and catch a glimpse of myself. As I do, the whole encounter with the police officer immediately makes sense. In that rearview mirror, he writes, I saw a reflection of my sister-in-law's diamond-studded aviator sunglasses I had been wearing the whole time. So this officer pulls a 28-year-old man with a Louis Vuitton license plate, diamond-studded aviators, and a California license driving through a small town in Delaware. I was doomed from the start. Now, that's funny lost. But for real, some of y'all know what it's like to be lost in ways that are not funny, right? To look in the mirror and think, how did I end up here? You know, that 3 a.m. staring at the ceiling kind of loss, you know, where you're asking, where is my life headed? What am I doing? Where am I going? You know, I've had those nights lying awake in bed, you know, staring at the ceiling, pretending that I was just thinking, but really I'm crying out in my heart asking, Lord, what are you doing here? Where is this going? Where am I headed? You know what it's like. Some of you get the kids to bed, you collapse on the couch, right? And you mindlessly scroll on your phone, and somewhere between the third reel and the fourth notification, something inside of you whispers, what am I even doing this for? And maybe, just maybe, you came to church hoping to find your way. Maybe you logged on to YouTube or to Zoom hoping to find your way. And many of you have been in church your whole lives. You've been walking with Jesus a long time. The old folks said, I ain't got tired yet. That's not necessarily your part of the equation. You've just been walking with him a long time. And you know the songs, right? You know the verses. You know the prayers. But somewhere along the way, you as a Christian may have started asking yourself, what's the point? Where is this whole faith thing taking me? How do I take my next step in my walk with God? Hear me this morning. We all feel a little lost sometimes. Can I get an amen? Now let me tell you something this morning. There are two ways you can be lost. You can be lost because you don't know where you are going, or you can be lost because you don't know how to get there. Destination or directions. Some of you are driving through life, as it were, with a stack of maps. You know what I'm talking about, career plans, relationship goals, financial targets, but with no idea as to which of those maps, which of those roads actually leads home. And in John 14, Jesus speaks to both of these things. And in this message, we'll discover this morning three things. Number one, that Jesus is our destination, right? Number two, that Jesus is our way. And then number three, we walk this way by believing in him, following him, and becoming like him. To put it in simple words this morning, believe, follow, become like Jesus. Let's talk first about our destination. As we look at John chapter 14, Jesus is there in the upper room with his disciples, right? It's the night before the cross. He's just told his disciples, I'm leaving y'all, and they're shaken, right? They don't know what to do. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know how they're going to make it without Jesus. And so Jesus speaks these words as recorded in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. This is what he tells them. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So the first thing Jesus shows us is this. Watch this. He is our destination. Now, he says, you know, he talks about the Father's house. Yeah, that's heaven, right? We get that. But the great promise of heaven is not just about a mansion or mansions. It's not just about streets of gold. It's not even just, you know, the thing we like to think about, no more tears. The great promise of heaven is Jesus himself. In verse 3, he doesn't say, I will come again and take you to a place. It says, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. Jesus is saying to his disciples, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And he paints this picture. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. The Father's house. Yes, that's heaven. Got it. And in heaven, what he's saying is there's plenty of room. I'm kind of glad about that today. I hope you are as well. You know, there's room for you. There's room for me. There's room for everybody who comes to him. But let me ask you something this morning. When you think about heaven, let me ask you, when you think about heaven, what comes to mind? What do you actually picture? Because the picture you have of heaven is going to shape whether or not you really want to get there. Some of us picture streets of gold. And the Bible says, yes, there are streets of gold. Some of us picture a place with no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more goodbyes, no more bills, no more IRS, no more anything. It starts with T. And the Bible says, yes, all of this is true. And heaven is going to be more glorious and more amazing and more. It's unimaginable. It's going to be beyond anything you or I could ever imagine. All of the pictures we have are just mere approximations. But this is what I want you to get this morning. Even if you're not religious, even if you don't believe in heaven at all, every human being, I believe, is looking for something, looking for some kind of salvation. Everybody is searching for something. Some folks call it heaven. Some folks call it nirvana. Some folks call it enlightenment. Some folks just call it a better life. For some, the dream is what? More money. That number in the bank that'll finally let you take a deep breath and live a little bit, right? For others, it's the perfect family. You know that smiling Christmas card that you get in the mail where they all have the matching sweaters and the manufactured grins. And, you know, you didn't hear the mama just told the kid to shut up and slapped him right before they snapped the picture. But, you know, the perfect family. And for some, it's making the world a better place because if I can fix enough things out there, maybe I can quiet the stuff that's going on in here. You know what I'm talking about. But every single person on this earth is reaching for something, some destination, some better place, some final answer to that ache in their soul. Please don't miss what Jesus is actually saying in this passage. He said, I will come again and take you. To where? To the mansion? To the streets of gold? To the place with no more tears? No, he said, I will take you to myself. You hearing me this morning? To myself. He says, why? He says, that where I am, you may be also. Let me tell you something today, folks. Heaven is not really about heaven. Heaven is about Jesus. The mansion isn't the point. The streets of gold aren't the point. Jesus is the point. In other words, heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Take Jesus out of heaven and all you have is not heaven anymore. It's just some celestial real estate. And that's our destination. Not a place, but a person. To be with him, to stand face to face in his presence, to know his love, to enjoy his friendship forever and ever and ever. You ever love somebody so much that you just being in the same room with them was enough? You didn't need to talk. You didn't need to do anything special. You just wanted to be with them. That's a tiny picture, just a thumbnail of what heaven is. And so hear me this morning. The Christian hope, the blessed hope of which we often speak in Christian circles, is not just that I'll go to a better place when I die. The Christian hope is that I will be with Jesus. Jesus is our destination. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is our destination. I do that to make sure you're still awake. So if Jesus is our destination, then this raises a huge question. The question would be, well, then how do we get there? And that was Thomas's question, and it's our question as well, which leads us to the second thing this passage shows us. Not only that Jesus is our destination, but Jesus is our way. After Jesus said all that we just cited, Thomas, and we've talked about Thomas a lot over the last several weeks, haven't we? He's got to be pretty well known around this church, right? And, you know, Thomas raises his hand, you know, kind of like Lakeisha does on Zoom on Wednesday night with the little symbol. And Thomas asks a question that we all would have asked if we could have asked the question that day, right? In verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? In other words, Jesus, we don't understand the destinations or how we're supposed to know the directions. We can't plug it into our phone because we don't even know where we're supposed to show up at. And here comes the answer in verse 6, which is some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. Jesus says this in verse 6. He responds to Thomas. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So first, Jesus is our destination. Second, Jesus is our way. Now, I know a lot of folks hear that verse. They get their feathers ruffled, right? They get bothered. They hear Jesus say, no one comes to the Father except through me. And they think Jesus is being narrow-minded. They think Jesus is being arrogant. They think Jesus is keeping people out. Have you ever heard somebody say, like, well, there are so many roads to God. Why would Jesus say he's the only one? You know, like Jesus is sitting there at the door of heaven with his arms crossed saying, y'all can't come in. But that's not quite what he's depicting here. Jesus is not standing at the door of heaven, blocking people out. Jesus is standing at the door of heaven saying, I am the door. He's not blocking heaven from you because he is heaven. He's not the gatekeeper. He himself is the gate. C.S. Lewis once said that the gates of hell are locked from the inside, talking about the other destination. In other words, some people don't miss heaven because God slammed the door on them. They miss heaven because they won't come to Jesus. So when Jesus says, I am the way, no one comes to the Father except through me, he's not being cruel, he's being kind. He's saying, don't waste your life going up and down dead-end streets. I'm the only way that actually leads home. You see, the problem is this. We don't need a new map. We need a guide who himself is the road. Let me tell you something. I heard that there's a place about 2 hours, I think, west of Las Vegas called the Virgin River Gorge. Yeah, you know that area. I know you. Marvin drives through there every other week. A lot of desert around there, right, Marvin? A lot of cactus, more cactus than you ever imagined in your life. Wide open, flat, boring, nothing to see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. But that gorge, when you come to that gorge, those rock walls rise hundreds of feet on either side, and the road is narrow, and the river is narrow, and there's barely enough room for both the road and the river through those cliffs. But I understand it's actually absolutely beautiful and one of the most stunning stretches of road in this country. You see, there's beauty in the narrow. Why? Watch this. Jesus, yes, he is narrow. He said, I am the only way. He's not narrow because he's small-hearted. He's narrow because truth is specific. Everything can't be true at the same time. Otherwise, nothing is true. A road that really takes you home has to be focused. The wide road of the world will take you 1,000 different places, and not one of them will satisfy your souls. And some of you all know what I'm talking about because you've been up and down those roads. But the narrow road of Jesus, that road leads home. And so we've seen that Jesus is our destination. Jesus is our way. Now the question is, how do we walk this way today? And that's the third thing that our passage shows us. We walk this way. We walk this way by believing, following, and becoming like him. Now this whole... Listen to how Jesus starts this whole conversation in verse 1. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So how do we walk this way? We believe in him. We follow him. And over time, by his Spirit, guess what? What's supposed to happen? We become like him. Let's break that down. First of all, we believe in him. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you trust that he is who he says he is, that he did what he said he did, and that he will do what he said he will do, you begin a relationship with him right here, right now. Now, believing is not just nodding your head at some facts, right? Believing means that you trust him with your past, your present, and your future. You trust him with your past that he's forgiven what you've done. You trust him with your present, that he's walking with you through what you're going through right now. And you trust him with your future because you believe that he's already gone ahead of you and prepared a place for you. Believe in him. So first, we believe in him. Secondly, we follow him. And let me tell you something. I'm talking about following Jesus. Do you realize that the first Christians did not call themselves Christians? They call themselves followers of the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way. You see, the first Christians didn't just believe some ideas about Jesus. They ordered their lives around Jesus. You know what that means? It means they walk like him. Mm-hmm. It means they talk like him. They loved like him. They gave like him. They lived like him. Now, back in Jesus' day, among the rabbis, and Jesus was considered a rabbi, every rabbi had a way, his own way, a way of teaching, a way of praying, a way of reading the scripture, a way of living in the world. And Jesus had a way too. And Jesus' way became the way. And so these first followers, we see them in the book of Acts, you know, after everything went down, we're talking about here, you know, what did they do? They watched him, right? They listened to him, right? They studied him. They imitated him. And guess what? Something amazing happened. As they followed him, as they watched him, as they listened, as they studied him, as they imitated him, they believed him, they followed him, and they became like him. Become like Jesus. Little by little, their lives started to look like his. Hint, hint, it's supposed to be that way now. That's our calling, church, to be with Jesus, to learn from Jesus, and to become like Jesus. We can almost ditch the love God, love people and use that as our new byline. Be with Jesus, learn from Jesus, become like Jesus. That's really what it's all about. That's what the Christian life is. Be with him, that's the destination, right? Learn from him, become like him. Those are the directions. So when you start to forgive like he forgave, amen, somebody. When you start to love like he loved, when you start to serve like he served, when you start to give like he gave, you can know that you are walking the way. Amen. And you know what God is looking for among his people today? True, bona fide, real world disciples who have learned to be with Jesus, learn from Jesus, and become like him, who are living out their faith in real time. Tangible ways, not just saying it, not just getting a Christian tattoo or a cross on your arm, or not just bandying about scripture or misusing it or quoting scriptures from movies you probably haven't even seen. Quoting non-scriptures from movies. You know, let's be real about it. Be with Jesus, learn from Jesus, become like Jesus. But let me leave you this morning, this afternoon now, all right? So I always hate it when I get past noon because I can't say this morning anymore. This afternoon, let me leave you with two questions I want you to wrestle with this week. Question one, where are you trying to go? Because you might feel lost because your destination is off. It's kind of like spending years and years climbing a ladder only to reach the top and realize that you had leaned it against the wrong wall. Are you chasing a job? Yeah, it took somebody a minute to get that one. Are you chasing a job? Are you chasing a house? Are you chasing a title, a relationship, a number in the bank? All these things can be good gifts, but they're gifts along the way, but not the place where we're meant to live. The soul, your soul was made for Jesus. He is the destination. Where you're trying to go. Number two, how are you trying to get there? Because maybe your destination is right. You want God, you want heaven, but your directions are wrong. You hear what I'm saying? Are you trying to get there simply by being a good person? Doing more good than bad so that you can tip the proverbial scales of divine justice? You know, let me pour on a little more good deeds here to try to outweigh all the bad deeds that I did, and they're pretty heavy. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all are still working with that scale thing, right? You know, maybe, are we trying to get there by just showing up at church a little bit more often, or by doing stuff, or serving somewhere, just trying to do stuff? These things are all good, but let me tell you something, church. These things won't get you home. There's one way to the Father, and his name is Jesus. And we walk that way by believing in him, following him, and letting him change us from the inside out. Amen. That's what this faith is all about. Oh, but let me tell you something. Let me remind you of something. You know, just a mere 24 hours after Jesus said all this, after he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know where he was? He was hanging on a cross. It looked like the way had been blocked. But on that cross, Jesus was doing what? Jesus was building that way. By paying for your sin and my sin, he was removing the barrier between us and the Father. I can only imagine the disciples in that moment watching what was happening, confused and heartbroken and terrified. I can hear them asking, well, Jesus, what about the Father's house? What about the many rooms? What about coming back for us? All that stuff. What about you being away? What's up with this? You're on a cross. You're dying. It looked like Jesus had lost. It looked like the enemy had won. Turn to somebody and say, but God. Huh? What looked like losing was Jesus winning. What looked like defeat was the greatest victory this world has ever known, because on that cross, amen, somebody, today, Jesus was paying for your sin. He was paying for my sin. He was building the road home. He took the punishment we deserved. He carried the weight that we could not carry, and he died the death that we should have died, and he did it all so that we could be with him forever. Oh, but wait. That's not even the end of the story, y'all, because 3 days later, you know where this is going, right? 3 days, it was early one Sunday morning when the women came to the tomb expecting to anoint a dead body. The stone had been rolled away. The grave was empty, amen. Death couldn't hold him, amen. Hell couldn't keep him. The devil couldn't stop him. He got up from that grave with all power in his hand. And because he walked out of that grave, here's the good news for somebody this morning. Somebody on YouTube needs to hear this today. Because he walked out of that grave, you don't have to be buried in yours. Not in the grave of shame, not in the grave of addiction, not in the grave of despair. Oh, but that's not the end of the story, because 40 days later, he ascended into heaven and he went up to be with his Father. And before he left, he told his disciples, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And one day, church, one day, we sing it all the time, Dorsey, is it? One day, he's what? Coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to take us to be with him forever, just like he promised to them in that upper room. So what does this mean to you today, in your seat, or maybe some of you are in your bed? I don't know what you will. Some of y'all at home, y'all might be on the couch, looking in the refrigerator while I'm preaching, eating a chicken leg while I'm preaching. Just save some for me. That's all I got to say. For real though. If you're lost this morning, if your soul is tired, if your heart is heavy, if you've been chasing things that didn't deliver, if you've been walking roads that didn't lead you anywhere, somebody knows what I'm talking about today. Hear the voice of Jesus calling you right now. He's saying, I am the way. Come to me. He's saying, I am the truth. Believe in me. He's saying, I am the life. Walk with me. Amen. Oh, you know what? I realized something as I was working through this stuff this week. He's always been the way, right? Aren't you glad about that? How many of you can say that you found him? You found the way. Oh, he's been the way for that prodigal son who woke up on the floor surrounded by bad decisions and said to himself, I got to go home. Amen. He's been the way for that addict who promised never again 1,000 times and finally got to the place where she can whisper, Jesus, I can't do this without you. He's been the way for that church kid who knew the rules but never really knew the Lord, who knew John 3:16, who quoted but never actually met the man who said it. He's been the way for every soul who's ever cried out to him, and he can be the way for you too. And you know what? You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to know all the right words. You don't have to come from the right side of the tracks. Because I came from the wrong side of the tracks. Well, I don't know. I don't know where the tracks, they took the tracks away. But you don't have to come from the right family, the right neighborhood, the right past. All you have to do is come, and he'll do the rest. Amen. Amen. And you know what? There's one thing about following Jesus, and I've been following him a long time, and he's been so good in my life. He doesn't, and he won't drop you off at the door of heaven, by the way, and leave and walk away and leave you by yourself. He walks every step of the road with you. I want you to know, when you're scared, he's with you, right? When you're tired, he's with you. When you can't see 2 feet in front of you, he's with you. When you mess up, and you will, he's still with you. You see, the way is not just where he's taking you. The way is who he is on the journey. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And there is no way to the Father but through him. And there's no better place to be than with him. So whatever road you've been on, whatever map you've been trying to read, whatever GPS has failed you, come on home. The Father is waiting. The room is ready. And Jesus is the destination. Jesus is the way. Believe in him. Follow him. Become like him. I promise. I believe this. God promised, and I stand, and I've seen it in my life, so I'll extend this promise in Jesus' name to you. We learned this week that those of us who speak should speak as though we're speaking for God, because our words are important. So I don't take these things lightly. I promise you that he'll walk with you every step of your life. I promise you that he'll never leave you alone, that he'll be your constant friend. And I just want to speak real briefly as we prepare to go to communion in a moment. I want to speak to two categories of people today. Maybe you are under the sound of my voice here in this place, and I don't know who I'm talking to on YouTube, and that's the cool thing about it. It's a mystery medium. And then for those of you on Zoom, if you are hearing this today and you have never made the definitive decision to follow Jesus, you don't have to clean yourself up. There's no special stuff you got to do. You just have to say, Jesus, I believe that you're the way, the truth, and life, and today I want to follow you. And he'll forgive your sins. You put your trust in him. He died for you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you a new life. I know you hear there's a lot of different permutations of the sinner's prayer, and there's a lot of different ways to say it, but basically, if you cry and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for me. Save me. He'll save you. So today, maybe somebody just needs to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Give me that gift of new life. I believe today that you are the way, and I know that you will lead me into an eternity with you, and that's what I want. If that's you today, that's all it takes. So, Father, I pray for anyone that's in that valley of decision this morning that needs that just the prompting of your Holy Spirit. Give them the courage and the faith to be able to just say yes to you today, to turn their lives over to you. And then the other category of people, I was thinking about my phone. I'm not thinking about it now, but many of you, if you have your phone on your lap, put it away. I'm still talking. But I mess with Apple Maps, because sometimes I'm gonna go where I want to go, but I programmed in this place. I'm gonna go the way I know to go when it's told me to go the other way. How many of you know when it tells you to go? It's like I know better because I've been going this place for all my life, and so then you'll go the other way, and then it'll keep trying to make you to do a U-turn. And it says, proceed to the root. Yeah, but that's those words, proceed to the root. I'm going to talk to Siri. Siri, can't you see? I don't care about your root no more. I got my own root now. I know where I'm going. And you catch up with me down there at that other intersection where they finally figured out after you don't make the U-turn. Oh, okay, that's where he's trying to go. Some of you, you made your own turns off the path and off the way. And right now the Holy Spirit is saying, would you proceed to the root? It's time to get rerouted. It's time to get back on the way, not your way. So somebody today needs to say, I've been trying to do this thing my way as a Christian, trying to live under my own strength, and it's time for me to get back on Jesus' map and follow the way, who is Jesus. So maybe somebody today, as a Christian, just needs to say, Lord, forgive me, I've been tripping. See, I know that's not church talk. Forgive me, Lord, I've sinned. No, you've been tripping. I've been doing your own thing, going your own way. pushing, you know, kicking God to the curb. Maybe and you're still a Christian. You love the Lord somewhere deep down in there. When you hear the songs of Zion, you feel that little stirring, and then you leave church and go back and trip like you tripped all the other times, you know. But listen, maybe today somebody needs to say, you know, I get this. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And so what you want to do today is that you want to come to him, believe him, and walk with him. So today, Lord, for anyone under the sound of my voice, as a Christian who would say, Father, today I want to recommit and rededicate my life to you. I want to be a faithful follower of the way so that in following you, I can become like you, not just talk about you, not just carry some ID that says I'm a Christian, like a cross that I wear or a tattoo or carry a Bible or just that I go. But Lord, that people will be able to see you in my life as I follow you faithfully. Somebody needs to proceed to the root today, get back on track. So, Lord, we pray for those today. We thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, for the love of God that enfolds us and surrounds us today and embraces us. When we're wayward, you don't kick us out and cast us out and cut us off, but like the father of that prodigal son, you always welcome us back with open arms. So, Lord, somebody today, the word is come home. Come home in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you, Lord, today for your word. Bless your people. And we thank you that we are not just so-called Christians. We are followers of the way. And Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Elders.